It's a tradition for many families to gather at the holidays and share a favorite film. On the short list of biggest holiday film traditions would have to be a viewing of the 1944 Technicolor musical Meet Me in St. Louis. The film showcased not one but two of MGM's biggest stars, the 22-year-old Judy Garland and her 7-year-old co-star Margaret O'Brien. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. We ring in the new year with part two of my interview with classic film star Margaret O'Brien. Miss O'Brien was more than a child film star. She was a great actress capable of an extraordinary range of emotions at a very early age. I spoke with Miss O'Brien at last year's Plaza Classic Film Festival, and the following was recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 9th, 2013. It's an ensemble cast. Of course, your co-star is Judy Garland. You get some of the best screen time, though. There are a number of scenes where it's you, you and Chill Wills, or you and the other kids on Halloween, or, you know, at that time, was Vincent Minnelli worried about balancing? He was falling in love with the other co-star, Judy Garland.
Well, no, that was what was so wonderful about Vincent Minnelli as a director. He took every character and made it really important and directed each character as they were the most important in the movie. Because we had, I mean, where would you find a cast with Marjorie Main and Leon Ames? You know, I mean, just the wonderful people that were connected. And the boy next door, of course, Tom Drake.
Oh, it's so true
and,
when you
and
watch.
He treated us all like we were a family. We were really that Victorian family. And I think that's what made it a success, because we all, Harry Davenport, Grandpa, because we all really liked each other. And we all kind of became a family on the set. And I think that was very important, and Vincent Minnelli saw that. Because if there was somebody that was didn't like, you know, part of the family or part of the other, it would not have all pulled together.
So he worked really hard to create that camaraderie.
Yes, he did.
It is an ensemble piece, but when you watch the film, you'll see that every character mm-hmm. gets a really great scene and a song at some point.
Exactly.
It's very spread around. You
and
know,
that was very important that it was an ensemble movie, because it was about a very close-knit family. So Vincent Minnelli saw that, and of course that's what made him such a great director. Mm-hmm. And this is what Judy liked, too, because she became part of the whole family, and everybody had the same hours, and she was never late on the set, and always pleasant.
Did she ever give you advice, just because she had sort of come up as a young actress and reached prominence at an early age? Did she ever sit you down and say, listen, there's a few things I need to tell you?
No, Judy never said that, because I don't think she wanted to think about the past and what was difficult at the studio. She was embarking on a new life for herself and as an adult actress and singer and talent. So she wanted to look forward. She didn't want to think about an unhappy time, because she loved working and she loved performing. So she wanted to think of it as a happy future. So, no, she never sat down and said, beware or anything like that. And, of course, she knew I had a mother that was very protective, but not a stage mother, which was very important, not to be a stage mother. And she never got in the way of the scenes, or but was protective. So it all worked out, and Judy knew that. Judy knew I had somebody that was really behind me.
I can't imagine what it would be like, and there's very few people on the planet who can imagine what it'd be like to be as famous as you were at your age, be at MGM with the kind of contract you had. Did you just walk around the studio after hours, feel like you had free rein there? You could run around the sound stages, play, be a kid?
No, I really didn't run around because there wasn't a lot of time, because don't forget I had school, and there was a very strict school teacher. Her name was Miss McDonald. In fact, on the set of Little Women, Elizabeth Taylor had her 18th birthday, and she was so happy because Miss McDonald wouldn't follow her anywhere anymore. She said, oh, thank goodness I don't have Miss McDonald, because Elizabeth would like to kind of go and, you know, fix her dress and fix her clothes, and instead of doing arithmetic, And Miss McDonald would come and yank her away. And Elizabeth said, yay, I love doing Little Women. I don't have to have Miss... And Miss McDonald lived to be very old. She only died a few years ago. I think she was 104. So I guess we didn't do too badly toward her.
And she was tough. She would pull you right out of a set.
Oh, she was tough because there were a couple of scenes of Meet Me in St. Louis that I wanted to finish that were very dramatic. And I didn't want to come back and have to do it in the morning. So I would beg Miss McDonald, please, I'm in the mood. Let me finish a scene. And she wouldn't. She was the one that Mr. Mayer was scared to death of, Miss McDonald.
There have been and were before you at times young actors that had become extremely popular at different studios and different roles. Your career, however, when I watch you on the big screen, the range of emotion you have is well beyond someone of your years at this, and that's uncanny and really not something that I can think was ever replicated by another 7 or 8 year old on screen. Is that, were you just born with this ability to emote like that and feel on camera like that? Or did you take lessons? Were there classes?
No, I really didn't take lessons. I learned from different directors and the other actors on the set. I'd watch certain actors. I'd watch certain movies. One of my favorite actresses was Vivian Leigh. And when I had a little time off, the studio would show me some of her movies. And I wanted one day to get Vivian Leigh's autograph, which I did. I got to have tea with Vivian Leigh in London when she was doing Antony and Cleopatra. And Laurence Olivier came backstage. She had me backstage in her dressing room. And Laurence Olivier came backstage, and I said, hello. And I said, oh, Miss Leigh, may I have your autograph? And Laurence Olivier said, don't you want my autograph too? And I said, no, I'm not interested in your autograph. I just want Vivian Leigh. Well, I was 9 years old, but, you know. I would love to have had it today, though. So, anyway, that was kind of business at the studio. And when I'd leave, I had my friends. I had my friends that were not in the movies. But then there was one little girl, which people do not realize. I always had another little child on the set with me. So you were never lonely for companionship. And she was what you call my stand-in. And we'd go to school together on the set. Because when they would light the set, they had to have another little girl that looked similar to me. And she'd go in when they were lighting. And then she'd go back to school. Then I'd go in and do the scene. And then I'd go back to school. And then when we weren't in any scenes, we could play together on the set. And we were very, very good friends. And her name was Maureen. And her father was head of props. He was the one that Vincent Minnelli would go to and say, find me that doorknob, you know. And I hadn't seen Maureen. I won't say how many years. Because when the contracts ended, I went into television, theater. And Maureen went into the car business and did very well. And I hadn't seen her for, till the last, I'll just say 5 years ago. And we ran into one another, and now we're the best friends again. And I said, it's you, Maureen. I recognized her, and we met at a luncheon. And now she's my great companion again. And that's a great story.
That's amazing. This was made in 1944. It's still among the favorite classic films ever made, one of the greatest classic films ever made. What do you think, why has it been sustained for so long in people's imaginations and their love for this film? I mean, clearly, most of the generations who saw this in 1944, there's new generations falling in love with this film. What is it about it that makes it last?
And what's amazing when I do different appearances, so many of the young mothers bring their young children, and some even younger, some four-year-old, three-year-olds, because Meet Me in St. Louis, I think, tells about family, and family pulling together when there's a crisis, like when the family had to move, you know, from St. Louis to another city, and I think that just generates in the minds of families, and, you know, if maybe there's some problems or things aren't going as well. They can see this movie and how families can pull together. And it doesn't matter what era it was. I mean, this is the Victorian. That was Victorian times. But it still pertains to modern times about families and children. And I think in the next generation that comes along, they'll still be watching Meet Me in St. Louis. And it's a happy film. Yeah. It makes you feel happy. And I think, you know, when we all go through certain problems during the day and so forth, and we're all running and everything's hectic, people can see this film and feel happy. And I think we all want to feel happy at times, and this film does it. So I think that's part of the reason.
I think that's probably all of the reason. We do want to feel happy, and there's a lot of happiness on screen, but there's also some sadness. One particular scene I'm thinking of, you, by this time, had already become legendary around the lot in your ability to cry on cue, buckets. Just turn it on. And, of course, there's that amazing scene with you and Judy Garland share where she's singing to you at Christmas. And how did you do that? I mean, what was it about the crying that was
well, this is kind of interesting because Mr. Minnelli fibbed a little bit in his book because it was a little more, maybe he thought, dramatic because it had happened to Jackie Cooper when mean Wallace Beery told him his dog had died to get him to cry for a scene. And Jackie Cooper said he never got over that, ever. The dog was all right. But that's a terrible thing to do to a child. Now, Vincent Minnelli, in his book, said they had told me my dog was sick. Well, my mother and Judy would never have allowed that. And so that is not what happened. What happened was June Ellison and I were in competition on the MGM lot because she cried a lot in her movies. And we were known as the town criers of MGM. Well, had a little contest going of who could cry the best. So I was having a very hard time crying in that scene for some reason because I had just played Jacks with Judy and it was hard to get back in the mood. So my mother came over to me and said, I know you're having a difficult time, so why don't I have the makeup man come over and put false tears? You know, drop the little water down your cheeks. But of course, June is such a great, great actress. She would always cry real tears. And I went, oh no, she's not going to get ahead of me and win the contest. And I started to cry. And then I cried and cried, and that's what really happened.
So it was practice, practice, practice. Well, you've made us cry. You've made us laugh. Oh, you've brought so much joy to millions. I want to thank you so much for being here with us tonight. Miss Margaret O'Brien, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Academy Award winner, Margaret O'Brien.
I just want to say one more thing. When you see me in the red coat and meet me in St. Louis, the studio would never allow you to keep any of your costumes, but I love that red coat, and my mother talked Mr. Mayer in giving that to me. And I had it for many years, and then I sold it to Michael Jackson. He was a collector, and he wanted the red coat, so I sold it to him for my doggy charity. And he bought the red coat, and there were a few years that I didn't know where it was. And then just recently, when he passed away, he had lent it to a man in Belgium who had a museum. And these auctioneer friends of ours who did the Michael Jackson auction found the red coat and was auctioning it off. And they had me at their party to appear with the red coat. And I thought, you know, I think I can fit in that. And I did. It fit me perfectly, except for the length. So now the Guinness's Book of World Records is talking to us, my manager and I, of being in the Book of World Records, because what seven-year-old child ever could fit in their same coat I won't say now what age I am, but I can fit in it. So remember that when you see it.
Margaret O'Brien.
You've been listening to my conversation with actress Margaret O'Brien, recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 9th, 2013, before a screening of the iconic musical Meet Me in St. Louis. While the film has become a perennial favorite for many families to view at Christmas time, it's a treasure year-round. I hope the preceding enhances your next viewing of Meet Me in St. Louis, no matter what time of year you watch it. You can hear part one of my conversation with Margaret O'Brien on this station's website at ktep.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. We wish you a very happy new year, and thank you for listening to On Film.